Achieving full community protection or herd immunity against COVID-19 through vaccinations by 2022 is no longer on the table for South Africa, it seems. We were aiming to immunize 41 million people by the end of the year in order to reach so-called herd immunity, the point at which COVID-19 is no longer spreading. The country now sets its sights on a less lofty goal called containment. Top vaccinology researcher Professor Shabir Mahdi, Dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences at WITS, joins us now. Welcome, Professor. Firstly, how is herd immunity calculated?
So it depends on two factors. It depends on the efficiency of the virus to be able to spread, and then that determines what percentage of the population needs to actually have immunity against that particular virus to ensure that there's a breaking chain of transmission of the virus. So with SARS-CoV-2, initially we were under the impression that you needed roughly about 70% of the population to develop immunity. But over time, as the virus has mutated and has become more transmissible, that number actually changes. And current estimates is closer to 80% probably, especially for the type of variants that are dominating in the UK as well as in South Africa. So in a way, it can be a moving target where viruses increase in terms of their ability to transmit and to become more infectious.
And it's that complexity, I would imagine, that is leading to the difficulty to achieve so-called herd immunity. Why is herd or population immunity now off the table?
Well, it's not off the table for all countries. So as an example, in Israel, and to some extent also in the UK, they've reached some sort of a steady state where by just vaccinating 60-70% of the population, they've been able to show that it's actually reduced infections in non-vaccinated age groups as well. And that is what herd immunity is all about, is a sort of indirect effect. But in the context of what we're experiencing in South Africa, the B1351 variant is relatively resistant to almost all of the vaccines, although variably. And consequently, what we face is that it's unlikely that these vaccines, in fact, are going to work too well when it comes to protecting against mild infection, mild disease, or infection. They do tremendous work. They perform tremendously against severe disease, and that's not a problem. But it doesn't actually do too well against infection and mild disease, which is what you're wanting vaccines to work against if you are wanting to bring about interruption in transmission of the virus. Now, it was already way back in January that I said South Africa needs to recalibrate its expectations for COVID-19 vaccines, and that herd immunity was no longer on the table. This is something that we already said in January, and that is because we found that even the AstraZeneca vaccine, and like I said, the same thing probably applies to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, is not going to work too well against infection and mild disease. And if it doesn't work against those two sort of spectrum of the illness, then unfortunately you don't have the tools to be able to get to herd immunity.
It raises all sorts of questions still in my mind about why we didn't continue with the AstraZeneca vaccine. If you can at least avoid the severe conditions, hospitalization and potentially death, and reduce something to what is ostensibly a manageable winter seasonal flu, what does the containment strategy now entail considering all of these factors in the South African context?
Yes, I'm not too sure the use of the word containment is correct. What we're really looking at is reducing the risk of severe disease and death, and that is what our goal should be. It's about ensuring that we minimize the number of people that end up in our hospitals, and we actually tremendously reduce the number of people that die. And the way to do that is to be more strategic in the manner in which we go about who we vaccinate and over what time period. So right now, the focus, and this should have started in January when we had AstraZeneca vaccines available to us, is that we needed to get those doses of vaccines into the arms of high-risk individuals. And interestingly, yesterday there was a study which came out which now shows that, in fact, individuals that receive a single dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine followed by a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine have got a better immune response against the B1351 variant than people that received two doses of the Pfizer vaccine. So again, another completely missed opportunity over and above that the AstraZeneca vaccine very well still probably would have protected people from developing severe disease with the current wave that we're experiencing. And consequently, there's going to be loss of unnecessarily loss of life.
If you look at the vaccine rollout so far, what do you see as the most significant challenge? There's obviously this delay around the release of the much-needed J&J single-shot vaccines. We're not getting enough of the Pfizer vaccine, and this seems to be a key pinch point in getting jabs into arms. From your vantage point, after a couple of weeks now of the Phase 2 rollout, what do you see as our greatest challenge?
Look, our greatest challenge is the timelines of being able to access the vaccines as well as the actual deployment of those vaccines. And to some extent, we've been hamstrung by the EVDS system. And if anything, the EVDS system actually is increasing inequity when it comes to vaccine access. So when I go to Baragwanath Hospital, as an example, and I look at the demographics of the individuals that are being vaccinated at Baragwanath Hospital, it in no way reflects the demographics of Soweto or of the country, for that matter. It is people that are relatively well-resourced that have been able to register to EVDS and get vaccines. So there's a few challenges. It's great that we're up to 70,000, and hopefully we can increase that to 100,000 in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But to a large extent, that depends on a shortage of supply of vaccines.
And that right now is still up in the air as we await the official word from the FDA that's been investigating that potential containment contamination issue in that factory in Baltimore with some AstraZeneca ingredient mixing potentially with the J&J stock. Professor Mardy, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time and your thoughts on this pivot now that was mentioned as far back as January already, away from so-called herd immunity to a strategy that is going to reduce the risk of severe disease and death. Don't call it containment. Let's find another word for it. Professor Shabir Mardy, Dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences at Fitz.